This is News Team correspondent Zachary Newman, and today I went to the First Congressional UCC Church in downtown Asheville, where the Campaign for Southern Equality announced the launch of their new Born Perfect campaign.
Some of the following interviews were recorded by JM Pro Media, and you can find them also on their Facebook page. The following interviews are with Carmen Ramos Kennedy, Jasmine Beach Ferrara, and Reverend Dr. Kimberly Buchanan. To start, you'll hear audio from today's press conference.
Good morning, friends. Welcome to a press conference announcing the launch of the Born Perfect North Carolina campaign to protect LGBTQ youth, and also to respond to the historic introduction of three LGBTQ bills at the North Carolina General Assembly this morning. Our event here in Asheville is part of a statewide launch that began in Raleigh and has now traveled west across the state. We're honored and thrilled to have partners from the faith community and a broad coalition backing the Born Perfect campaign, including civil rights groups, LGBTQ organizations, mental health advocacy groups, and faith communities and youth advocates coming together. We'll have prepared comments from several speakers and then opportunities for media to do individual interviews if you'd like to do that as well. So let us begin, and our first speaker is Guillermo Rodriguez from Equality North Carolina.
Good afternoon. My name is Guillermo Rodriguez, and I am the former chair of the Equality North Carolina Board of Directors. Equality North Carolina has been championing the rights of the LGBT community since 1979. I'm honored to represent Equality North Carolina on this very special occasion. Three bills will be introduced today at the General Assembly. The Mental Health Protection Act, sponsored by our own representatives Susan Fisher and Senator Terry Van Dyne, will put an end to the discredited mental health practice commonly referred to as conversion therapy. The bill will protect youth and vulnerable adults from this dangerous and discredited practice aimed at changing their sexual orientation or gender identity. It protects young people and adults from state-licensed therapists who falsely claim that being LGBTQ is a mental illness. These unethical mental health professionals take advantage of parents and harm vulnerable youth and disabled adults. Their harmful practices use rejection, shame, and psychological abuse to force children to try and change who they are. The children and families of North Carolina have a right to expect that a therapist practicing under a license from the state will not put them at risk of depression, substance abuse, or suicide. The second bill being introduced today will fully repeal HB 2. Since 2016, North Carolina has been in a conversation with itself about just how much discrimination is the right amount. After a nationwide backlash against this now infamous hateful bill, the legislature passed a band-aid called HB 142. So just how much discrimination against our community is the right amount? HB 142 forbids cities from passing any non-discrimination ordinance until December of 2020. And even then, it would forbid cities from passing non-discrimination ordinances that include provisions requiring equal access to bathroom facilities for the transgender community. So much for local control. Under HB 142, LGBTQ, and especially transgender people, are denied basic civil rights protections. 20 states have already enacted and successfully implemented these laws to allow transgender people to use the restroom that matches their gender. There has been no increase in public safety incidents in restrooms in any of the states. Let's be real. 21% of North Carolina respondents in a U.S. transgender survey faced such severe mistreatment as a transgender person that they left a K-12 school. School policy should protect students from this mistreatment, not promote it. And finally, we seek equality for all. It is hard for many people to believe that it's still legal in North Carolina, under North Carolina law, to fire a hardworking employee, deny someone an apartment, deny them service at a restaurant, or otherwise discriminate against someone because they are lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender, or queer. Protecting people from discrimination is about treating others as you want to be treated. We need to focus on what we have in common, taking pride in our work, respecting coworkers, providing good service to customers. All people should have an equal shot at earning a living, providing for their families, and living free from the fear of harassment or discrimination. A growing majority of North Carolinians, 66%, support passing these protections. Now is the time to pass comprehensive non-discrimination protections that protect all North Carolinians from discrimination, regardless of sexual orientation or gender identity. In closing, I often refer to our state's motto, esse quam vidire, to be rather than to seem. North Carolina is no longer the state that I grew up in. It seems to have put aside the values of fairness and equality for all. Passing these three bills will help create a state where we can, once again, be safe, be respectful, and be progressive. Thank you.
I'm Kim Buchanan. I pastor First Congregational in Asheville. And how grateful we were for the invitation from the Campaign for Southern Equality and Equality North Carolina to host today's press conference. How good, how right, how perfect to gather in a sanctuary, this place where we learned that Jesus loves us. This place where we learned that Jesus loves all the little children. This place where we learn to do unto others as we would have them do unto us. This place where we learn to love our neighbors as ourselves. In fact, I can think of no better place than a house of worship to announce the good news that there are before our state legislature three bills affirming the dignity and beauty of God's creation in every person, including a proposal to ban therapeutic practices designed not to affirm but to do violence to the image of God in some of God's children. I name my support for these initiatives because, as a pastor, I have seen the deep psychological damage done by restrictive laws for our LGBTQ friends. I've counseled many people who have been told they were wrong simply because of who they are. I have sat with trans friends, grieving over the loss of another of their friends to violence or suicide. I am happy and proud to be here today because my faith calls me to do whatever I can to affirm the dignity and beauty of every person. Deep in my heart, I know Jesus would be here today. Deep in my heart, I know Jesus is here today. And y'all, I'm talking from my Christian faith perspective. Deep in my heart, I know Jesus is in this room today, loving each one of us, loving all the little children just as they were born. Because all God's children were born in love. All God's children were born to be loved. What I'm trying to say is all God's children were born perfect. Whatever we can do in our community and our state to affirm the beauty of God's creation in every person. That is what we are here to do. And many faith communities in Asheville. And we do so as an unapologetic act of faith. Thank you.
I am Carmen Ramos Kennedy, president of the Asheville Buncombe Branch NAACP. I will make a brief statement. The Asheville Buncombe County NAACP supports the introduction and passing of Mental Health Protection Act. Conversion therapy has many variations. No matter what form it comes in, the young person experiencing it is being told that who they are and who they love is wrong or evil or vile. You can imagine all the negative words and terminology inflicted on them and the harmful persuasion tactics used. This so-called therapy poses as a real threat to one's mental health, self-esteem, and can be a matter of life and death. For LGBTQ youth who report efforts by their parents or outside intervention to change their sexual orientation, their suicide rates increase by 63%. Nothing about this is acceptable. Every single LGBTQ youth is born absolutely perfect.
Good morning again. My name is Reverend Jasmine Beach Ferrara. I'm the Executive Director of the Campaign for Southern Equality and a minister in the United Church of Christ. The Campaign for Southern Equality is based here in Asheville. We work across North Carolina and the entire South to advocate for full LGBTQ equality in every sphere of life. Just a few years ago, North Carolina became the epicenter of anti-LGBTQ legislation, with shameful measures like HB 2 and Amendment 1 directly targeting and attacking LGBTQ people. But during this time, we never stopped doing what we have always done, which is to live our lives with pride, to organize, to register voters and to vote, to have kitchen table conversations about why these issues matter so much, and above all else, to lift up a vision of what's possible in North Carolina when we come together around our core values of hope, dignity, and equal opportunity for all. What we see every day in our work at the Campaign for Southern Equality is that North Carolina and communities across the entire South are changing because of the courage and resilience of LGBTQ people and our allies. As a lesbian, a minister, and the leader of CSE, I know that the historic slate of bills filed at the North Carolina General Assembly this morning will have a very real impact starting immediately on the lived and legal equality of our community. Laws, even when they are bills that have been introduced, have a teaching effect. And these three bills teach a critical lesson. One that is already fundamentally true, which is that LGBTQ people were born equal, made equal, and will be equal every single day of our lives. One of these laws would finally remove the stain of HB 2, a law that tried to restrict access to public spaces for our trans brothers and sisters. One of these laws would ensure that LGBTQ people in our state don't have to worry every single day about the possibility of being evicted or fired simply for being who they are or loving who they love. And the other bill would send the message to all LGBTQ youth that we see them, we love them, we support them, and we are here to ensure they are safe and affirmed and have every opportunity to grow into their full potential. The Born Perfect North Carolina campaign that we're launching with Equality North Carolina today addresses one of the most foundational attacks on the LGBTQ community, the ugly myth that we can and should be changed. It's important to recognize that so many of the attacks on our community are linked, rooted in a foundational desire to hide us and to erase us. Think about it. The company that fires someone because of who they are. The business that refuses to sell something to a same-sex couple. The so-called conversion therapist who tries to force someone to change a core, innate part of themselves. The North Carolina lawmakers who try to tell transgender folks that they can't use the restroom. I and we are here today to tell you we will never be erased. We will never hide our authentic selves. We will never retreat from public life or from telling a story we know to be true. We're going to keep speaking out. We're going to keep organizing. We will keep voting in every single election. And we will keep telling our stories. And we are sure going to do everything in our power, every last thing in our power, to make sure that LGBTQ youth in every town across North Carolina know they are loved. In all of this, we are going to stay relentlessly hopeful. We know that the arc of the moral universe bends towards justice, and we know it never bends on its own. It bends because of how we show up each and every day. We know people's minds and hearts and spirits change on this issue. We know because we've seen it happen again and again in our own lives and families. And we see it happen every single day in our work across North Carolina and the South. And that is why we will keep digging deep to push for the passage of these bills, absolutely. But also to create a North Carolina where no matter who you are, no matter the color of your skin, the income of the family you were born into, the country you were born in, the language you speak at home, your sexual orientation, your gender identity, your faith tradition, no matter who you are loved and you have every opportunity to thrive. Today marks an important milestone in our journey to full equality. And rest assured, we will not stop until we get there. Thank you.
So much. All right, so here we are again, JM Pro TV, Asheville FM, and thank you so much for being here, speaking with us today. I wonder if you could give a little bit of what some of your hopes are following this press conference and for these bills that have been presented.
That our legislators, that our the voters, that the general public, that everyone will understand that every single human being is born perfect the way they were intended to be. We don't have the right to insist on or try to change what is core about who a person is. That's what I hope.
I heard in all speakers' comments an intersection where those comments seem to move across lots of different oppressed groups of people, where it sounds like a similar core value for organizing and showing up in spaces. I wonder if you could speak about the intersection of these values and how you hope to see people show up together.
Well, oppression intersects in so many ways. You know, race, gender, sexual persuasion, in so many ways. I hope that everyone realizes that there is somebody in their life 1 degree, 2 degrees, 3 degrees moved from them, and that they need to get involved. You know, people have power. We just don't seem to acknowledge it and take advantage of it. In a fist, we can do a lot. When we're single, in our silos, working separately, focused differently, it really, I think, affects our movement work terribly. However, when we're together as coalition partners, I'm telling you, things can be done. I have experienced that all of my life, and I have particularly experienced it in my most recent years here in Asheville, from 2007 on, where people working together can shift the minds and hearts of others.
Do you think the grounds in North Carolina right now are unique in passing these bills? And or is this, as was mentioned before, just the presentation an important move?
Well, I think the presentation is an absolutely important move because it's bringing the conversation to the fore. We start in conversation. And, you know, the North Carolina legislature, to my chagrin, has not done what it should have done. When I arrived here, this state was looking like a very progressive state. We were moving forward. You know, things were happening very positively. Then 2010 happened. The electorate, meaning the voters, did not show up, and things shifted. And now we have to work hard to gain some of the momentum that we've lost. And I feel that there's definitely a shift happening in the state. We are going in the right direction.
Wonderful. Thank you so much for sharing your thoughts. I wonder, would you recommend any of our viewers to participate or to explore other ventures in Asheville currently along that line of intersection?
You know, there's so many organizations doing great work in this community. two or three of my favorite are the Campaign for Southern Equality, Just Economics, where we work on living wage, affordable housing, mass transit, Beloved Asheville, where they are working with people at the grassroots affecting the lives of people who are without shelter, who cannot find food. Those are just three. There's so many opportunities to do good work in the city.
Thank you so much for your time.
You're welcome.
So here we are with JM Pro TV again. Jasmine, thanks so much for speaking with us today. I wonder if we could have you introduce yourself and talk a little bit about what's going on here today.
Absolutely. My name is Jasmine Beach Ferrara. I'm executive director of the Campaign for Southern Equality. We just concluded a press conference to launch this a statewide campaign called Born Perfect North Carolina to protect LGBTQ youth from the dangerous practice of conversion therapy. And we're also marking the historic occasion of three pro-LGBTQ bills that were introduced in the North Carolina legislature this morning. One would repeal HB 2 fully, one would provide comprehensive non-discrimination protections for our community, and the third would ban the practice of conversion therapy for youth.
So HB 2 has been kind of in this dormant stage for a little time now. What has this time been like in between?
Well, unfortunately, when a law like HB 2 goes into effect, it also has a teaching effect. And one of the things that has happened is that it has chilled the climate in our state for trans folks. Many folks continue to live in fear that they will not be treated fairly or not have full access to public facilities. And we also see that many, whether it's a local city or a public school system, institutions that would very much like to adopt measures protecting the LGBTQ community and especially the trans community feel reticent to do so because they're afraid of a backlash from the legislature. Fully repealing HB 2, fully repealing HB 142 are the solution to that, to create a clean slate and the ability for local communities to pass protective measures and also to see measures like that pass at the state.
So even if it doesn't pass, it sounds like it still could have that teaching effect of here's a different sort of bill that could be presented.
Yeah. In the South, winds look different than they might look in other parts of the country. And getting three bills like this introduced is a big step forward and something we can organize around. We will use it to tell stories, to activate people to call their legislators. What we know is the more people learn about the lives of LGBTQ folks, the more people learn about the dangerous practice of conversion therapy, the more ready they are to stand up for it. So we know that, it's a long road ahead in many regards, but we feel hopeful about what's possible. And we see this as part of an interlocking web of civil rights issues in our state around immigration rights, economic justice, racial equity, and justice issues.
Could you speak a little bit more about how all of these issues are connected?
They're connected first and foremost through our lives. LGBTQ people are part of every single community, every racial group, every faith community, folks from every status and community you could think of. So that's one. The other is through our relationships, because we love and care about each other. And then the other is through a vision around justice and equality, and knowing that when anyone is persecuted and targeted, we all are, and we have a responsibility to stand up. So as we celebrate what happened this morning and move forward on our organizing, we're, of course, closely tracking a very insidious bill that would seek to restrict the ability of sheriffs to refuse to cooperate with ICE. And the tension between a regressive bill like this and a hopeful bill like the ones we're celebrating speaks to the ways that we have to be engaged as a movement intersectionally on many issues at once and always be talking about these issues together.
Do you think, I'm curious with the presentation of these three bills here in North Carolina, what do you think has changed that has pushed these forward? Is this an economic response to the state governing body?
Well, what we know actually is that a significant majority of people across North Carolina support these measures. That has been true, and that level of support just continues to grow, and we're seeing it show up in political will now. And the next step is for it to show up in political power, meaning we're able to pass bills like this. So it's the result of decades and decades of organizing and people coming out. It's the result of there now being more out LGBTQ people at the North Carolina General Assembly, I think historic numbers. So these become very personal issues in chambers there as well. So it's many different things at once. And I also think it's that, our state has been stained by HB 2, by Amendment 1, by Senate Bill 2, and there's a growing swell of folks across the state who are ready to turn the corner and move into what's possible in 2019.
So for viewers who maybe are unfamiliar with conversion therapy and want to learn more about harmful effects that it has, and just more to learn more about these bills and what's going on with Campaign for Southern Equality and for other organizations of that sort, can you recommend any resources?
Absolutely. Please go to bornperfectnc.org. That's the campaign website hosted by Campaign for Southern Equality and Equality North Carolina and a statewide coalition. You can join the campaign as an individual. You can join as a coalition partner. You can contact your legislators through that site. And also tune in to both organizations for breaking updates as these bills move forward now that they've been introduced. We welcome everyone into this movement. And what we know is that when people learn how ineffective, dangerous, and harmful conversion therapy is, they support banning it as a practice that can target youth.
Great. Thank you so much for speaking with us today.
Appreciate the opportunity. Thanks for all the great work you all do.
So we're here with JM Pro TV and Asheville FM again at the press conference this morning for Born Perfect.
Born Perfect.
And we're here with the pastor who has hosted this event in the right around noon today. I wonder if you could introduce yourself and a little bit about the relationship that that your church is taking with this press conference and with these bills that are being presented.
Excellent. My name is Kim Buchanan. I'm the pastor here at First Congregational. And CSC, the Campaign for Southern Equality, has their offices here. So we have that relationship and have worked with them in the past. And we have been open and affirming, meaning that we welcome people of all sexualities to this congregation for a long time, a very long time. And so our interest in supporting all folks, especially our LGBTQ community, is very important to us as a matter of faith, because we believe that God has created each of us perfect, beautifully. And so by affirming equality for people of all sexualities and identities, that is for us an act of faith to nurture the image of God in every person. And so we are completely on board and very excited about the initiative and about this historic event of three bills being before the legislature now.
The church historically has been both in positions of oppression and liberation. This reminds me of the liberation theology presented with Oscar Romero.
You're talking about the
Dorothy
church with
Day.
A big C.
Big C church,
yeah.
That's right.
Yes. Oh, yes.
But James Cone with Black Liberation Theology,
sure.
Hamid Dabashi with Islamic Liberation Theology.
Okay.
I wonder, like, how you see this intersection where the statements of, you know, the identity of self, like the way of that we are as being perfect and inherently the quality of being human. I wonder if you could speak about how that moves into other social conversations as well.
This is like a theological question. It's wonderful. It's wonderful. So are you asking about, like, the liberation theology, or?
Do you identify with that particular, or with theologians? Have they had influence on your way of thinking? Or do you see that this as a contemporary movement along those lines?
Oh, no, I go back to Jesus. Because I think that's why he ministered for 3 years and got killed, because he was advocating for the full personhood of people the powers that be didn't want to have, that full personhood. Certainly I am a follower of Jesus, and so advocating for everyone, especially on the margins, because they are pushed there by governments and the powers that be, I follow Jesus by advocating for those folks. So, and I think that's at the ground. I wouldn't identify myself as a liberation theologian, but there's a lot that makes a lot of sense to me because of this advocating, as Jesus said in the Gospel of Matthew, for the least of these, for those who are on the margins, for those who have been pushed aside. Those are the ones we draw the circle wider, right? There we go.
Do you see? I'm sorry.
No. I'm done.
Do you see collaboration with other faith communities in Asheville?
I hope so. I've only been here a year, and so I'm still learning. I do know there are a lot of congregations, or at least some, who are open and affirming as we are, and are very committed to justice for LGBTQ folks, but also racial justice, economic justice, and I've been happy. I came from the Atlanta area, and I've been happy that there are so many congregations, not only Christian congregations, who really are working for justice as a matter of faith.
Do you see within your own congregation interest in support, for example, immigrant community and similar, along with HB2 yesterday, HB 370, which has been a bill looking at mandating the collaboration of local sheriffs with ICE, despite local bodies electing sheriffs who will purposefully not work with ICE. Do you see interest or collaboration or movement around issues like that too in the congregation?
You know, I'm going to tell you the truth. I've just been here a year. and so we're still kind of living into all of that. That hasn't been on our radar screen at this point. But I feel certain there that would be a direction in which we would go. Yeah.
Thank you so much for your time and words.
You bet. All right. Thank you.